Welcome back. It's Wednesday, and I thought I'd bring Father Paul Kramer into midweek to give some of you who don't have the ability to listen on Friday night a chance to hear Father Kramer. He is an extraordinary man, and we talk often, in fact, almost exclusively, about the overthrow of the Catholic Church by the Bergoglians. I guess you can call them that. These people are not at all representative of what the Catholic Church has spent 2,000 years standing upon, and they are turning the Church into something entirely differently. They're really betraying 1.3 billion people on the planet who identify as being Catholics, and I don't know how else to phrase it. Father Kramer, thank you for being here on a Wednesday. Welcome back. How are you?
Yes, it's great to be back finally, and yes, what they are doing is they are creating a new and false church.
Yeah.
The Bergoglians are not reforming the Catholic Church. What they are doing is they are creating a counterfeit church and suppressing the Catholic Church. That's what's happening.
Well said. There's no reformation here at all, friends. This is a takedown and a reconstruction in an entirely new direction.
And it is ongoing every day. And if you understand that underlying principle, you can see it happening and being carried out. It is the implementation of an agenda that is relentlessly being pursued, and they will not even consider for a moment going back to the old religion, because they hate that old religion with an absolute passion.
That's really a remarkable statement, to understand that a 2,000-year-old institution of human enlightenment and certainly religious dogma that makes sense to a lot of 1.3 billion people can be overthrown like that. A handful of people have overthrown it, and they've taken it over, and now they've reshaped it, reconfigured it. It's rather like what happened to the U.S. We were overthrown by communists, and the same kind of communism is at the root, the base, of what's happened in the Vatican, in Rome. The American government is gone. It's a joke. It's a very bad and deadly joke, but it's a joke. And I think many Americans understand that. Does that mean everyone should not vote? No, because they'll use the vote tallies to allegedly certify and to place whoever they want in the White House. So we must continue to vote. Don't give them any extra ammunition for free. So there. But overthrows happen all the time in this world of ours. And the Catholic Church and the American government, and certainly look at the British government, and we could go on and on. And look what's happening in Ireland, Father Kramer. Not good news, I hear. Not good at all.
That's true. And the Irish people are finally beginning to react to.
They have to. They have to, or they're done. Just like Americans are done if we don't stand up to this. And I hope the Irish really raise holy hell. Look what's happened to the Brits, though. In England, they get out in the streets and they demonstrate, and they're immediately labeled the arch enemy of the alleged government there. This guy Starmer is a bad news Zionist communist. He is, that guy is evil, in my view. I'm not there, but I watch.
Here in Ireland, the rioting has got the message across to the government that the invasion. I don't call it the migration. I call it the invasion.
It's an invasion. Yes, of course. Do the Irish have, assuming the government doesn't support the people, who are the vast majority in that entire stage play, the people? What are the people going to do? They're going to just try and do it en masse in the streets without weaponry, or are they going to pick up something to match what the invaders will use against them? Swords, axes, hammers, I don't know. Is this going to go really deadly violent in Ireland to save the heritage of that once great, great country? It's under siege.
At the present time, the government is feeling the pressure. I really cannot foretell the outcome. But the government understands that they're going to be thrown out of power if they continue to trample upon the rights of the people and basically pursue a policy that intends to annihilate the nation.
Exactly what it is. Annihilating the nation. How strong do you think the Irish people can be? I know it's difficult to project, but what do you see in the streets so far that would give you any hope that the Irish people can throw off this malignant yoke of communist control, which is what it is?
When they become really oppressed, the Irish will finally wake up. And it seems like that it may be starting at least with a small percentage of the people, because they are still very much asleep.
Sad. And asleep because the mainstream media over there is lulling them to sleep with repetitive phrases, bogus, fake news, all the rest of it. What's keeping the Irish people in the dark? Has to be the media. And they, like here, they watch it out of habit since they were children, when mom and dad watched it. Over here, they'll watch NBC, ABC, CBS, etc., and think that they're actually watching news. They're not. Not at all. Same thing's going on there. The screen. It's screen addiction. All right, let me ask you to go ahead. Let's go back to the Vatican now. Bergoglio could be gone at any day now. It's true. He may be called from down below and go home or whatever. He's an evil man. So what do you think about the succession? Do they have multiple candidates standing by to be moved into the position that Bergoglio now occupies as Pope? Or will he be the last Pope, and they may come up with some kind of an alternate configuration for the power structure in the Vatican?
They will certainly have a figurehead Pope, even if he does not have the power of the papacy. They will have a figurehead Pope to replace him. Otherwise, they will not be able to enforce their agenda. Because in the Catholic Church, it is so understood and professed, believed, and rightly so, that the church is led by a pope. That if there is no pope, people will say, well, we can't accept these reforms because it's not ratified by the pope.
Right. Will there? Let me rephrase this. Will Bergoglio's successor? Will there be any chance, even by mistake, they put somebody in there who has even half of the scruples of Pope Benedict XVI?
That is hard to predict, but I think there's going to be two opposing popes, one false, one true.
Okay. And who will... Now, you would be involved with certainly the true pope. The false pope is inhabiting the Vatican now. Archbishop Vigano, would he be in the running for such a position? Very outspoken, very articulate.
It's
not
possible.
Unlike yourself. Yeah.
It is possible, but I can't. Again, I can't say who it will be, but it's quite possible that it could be Archbishop Viganò. The successor of this anti-pope, Bergoglio, that it can be. There are many who could come to replace him.
Got it. Any news from the rank and file members of the Catholic Church around the world? Are there any resistance pockets making noise somewhere, some diocese somewhere, talking about the fraud that has been perpetrated on the people of this great religion?
The media and the Vatican are trying to isolate the opposition, to make it look like people who are just lost their senses and just out there speaking nonsense.
But right.
They're growing in numbers, and there are more and more who are speaking out.
Okay. Do we have any particular location, any group beside Viganò? And in point of fact, speaking of Archbishop Viganò, are there people rallying to him? Have you been in contact with him? Have the people you know been in contact with him? What is being planned on the outside to try to retake the Church of Rome and to oust the frauds, the globalists? I would call them communist, Bolshevik-influenced frauds who are running the Catholic Church. How is the opposition being coordinated? Let me put it that way.
The opposition is, unfortunately, this always has happened historically. They're always late to react. But when they do react, they react very decisively. So I think that we won't see too much action until after the conclusion of the final session of the Synod. They say that the Synod will not be closed because, unlike Vatican II Council,
right,
where they closed the council and then they had the post-conciliar reforms enacted, they're trying to extend this synod until after it actually has its final formal session, which will be in October. But I think the changes will be so radical, and you can see them coming because they keep telegraphing what they intend to do, even if they don't want to publicize it too much, because they don't want people to understand the radical nature of the reforms that are against Catholicism and Christianity in general. The false religion they're trying to create in the Vatican has absolutely nothing to do with the divine revelation that came from the ancient prophets and from the apostles and from Jesus Christ,
right?
But it's a totally new agenda, which is opposed to religion in its very nature.
Are they putting out, Father Kramer, pronouncements from Bergoglio or a collective within the Vatican that they're actually going to the extent of laying out these new rules and regulations, so to speak? I mean, they're wholesale deconstructing and then trying to reconstruct the entire inner workings of the Vatican. I mean, they really are, and I'm wondering, are they publishing things that are being spread out worldwide instantaneously to all the churches? Are they putting it in writing?
what they intend to enact to replace the Catholic religion and to replace Christianity is something so radical that they're afraid to put it out in writing. So what they really do is they attack what was there before, and they keep attacking it.
Okay.
And they use all the cliches.
Yeah, buzzwords, cliches. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, in order to try to discredit what was there before. But the woke agenda is what they're promoting, but they won't say it.
So they're just still beating around the bush, but it's obvious what they're doing. I just wonder how... Yeah, go ahead.
More and more obvious every day.
I would like to see overt signs of rebellion among the church, the international parts of the church. It has to happen. This can't be just done sitting home writing emails and comments. There has to be something substantial done, unless I'm wrong. I mean, the churches have to, if you will, rebel. And the rebellion hopefully would grow. You see any other way about this?
Historically, that's the way it has happened. When the church is pretty much annihilated in a place,
right?
It cannot be stamped out entirely.
Okay.
And the more they try to stamp out the little bit that's left, that's when they undertake their own undoing. By trying to stamp out the last little bit that's left that they can't stamp out. It's happened before so many times. We can see it's going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. What have the major accomplishments of the great changeover been so far for the Bergoglians? What have they achieved so far that we can point to with any concrete certainty?
They are affirming the corruption that's taking place. We see the total degeneration and corruption of society taking place, and okay. they are cheering it on.
Cheering it on, give me an example. It's by proclamation, by individual behavior. How are they cheering it on? It just seems to me that with 1.3 billion people, many of whom certainly do have individual thinking processes, that they would see this. And that's why I asked about obvious and overt signs that have been left or may be left. But the people have to figure it out, or they're going to be gone. And they'll be members of this globalist new religion, a nativist religion.
The Paris Olympics, I think, is a perfect example of how they are promoting the corruption.
Right.
You had the parody of the... The sacrilegious, blasphemous parody of the Last Supper that took place at the opening ceremony.
Okay.
And the closing ceremony was very openly demonic.
Yeah.
You look at what they were promoting, and there was the empty monstrance. Now, the monstrance is a liturgical instrument that is used for... The exposition of the sacrament, the Blessed Sacrament, which is the body of Christ, substantially the body of Christ under the form of bread, under the appearance of bread,
huh?
And They had the empty monstrance with the represented with the demons, as if they're boasting about the coming absence of the sacrament of the church, mm-hmm. which is the sacrament of the altar. And okay. this is something that was foretold by Pope Pius XII before he became pope, when he was still only Cardinal Pacelli. When he spoke about the secret of Fatima, he spoke about he described it in terms of the red light in the sanctuary, which is a sanctuary lamp. The sanctuary lamp is the sign of the presence of Jesus Christ in the Eucharistic presence in the tabernacle. If the tabernacle is empty, you don't have that red light. It's extinguished. But when you have the presence of Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, in the tabernacle, you have the sanctuary lamp to signify it, mm-hmm. so that when people come into the church, they see that red candle.
Is that in every church, Father Kramer? Every church will manifest the same thing?
It was. I don't know if they still use it in some churches anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been historically, for many centuries, that is the sign that the sacrament is there. That when someone walks into the church and they see the sanctuary lamp, they know mm-hmm. that they can kneel before the tabernacle and pray to Jesus Christ present in the sacramental form.
All right, very good. Okay, hold on a minute. We have to take a little break. We'll come right back with Father Paul Kramer. Father Kramer, do you have a cold?
But it seems to have lingered on a bit, but the cold itself is gone.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, I can hear a little bit in your voice. You have to get up early to do these, and I appreciate it. All your listeners do, too. All right, hold on just a minute, and we'll come right back. Okay, here we are back. And don't miss, if you haven't seen them, take a look at the Rents videos at the top of the homepage. I was just checking another one there, see how many views. We have a lot going on. This view from Ireland of America, when you look over here and you see the Democrat National Committee and its convention, the party convention, and you see that horrible people, this Tim Walz, who is pushing hard for pedophilia to be normalized, the same with the camel, as I call her. What are your thoughts about America? How do you look at it? How do other Irishmen think? They must look at America as if the bright light of the Western world is dim, if not out. It can't look good.
For those who still have the power of reason in their mind, they can see the unraveling that has been taking place for a long time. And what it leads up to is something that is not any more foreseen except by a small number of people, a small percentage, I would say. Not a small number, but a small percentage, but a significant number of people. But it's a small percentage, that the collapse is going to be sudden. There's going to be a sudden collapse.
Right.
And I believe that after the election in November,
Father Kramer.
You're going to see.
Okay. Good.
the collapse of the economy, the financial global collapse of the economy, and you're going to see chaos. There's going to be a world war. It will begin when you see some signs of the collapse that are going to be, how should I say, too obvious to be ignored. You're going to see a revolution in Italy, a communist revolution that will take place in Italy. You're going to see such unrest that will turn into a revolution, but it will be a civil war, because it will be a revolution that cannot be accomplished. It's going to lead until both sides of the revolution of the civil war will fight to the death, and it will not be resolved, and that is the signal that there's going to be something more global taking place.
Right.
There's going to be an Islamic uprising that will be what they call a jihad, which is they call it a holy war. It's going to be an unholy war, an ungodly war. It's going to be Islamic rage militarized. It's going to be a military invasion, an attack on Western civilization, especially here in Europe.
Well, yeah, they've already got every country penetrated with fifth columnists ready to go. I mean, it's obvious.
And that's going to lead to something even more deadly. We see in China. China is being destabilized. Xi Jinping seems to be under house arrest at the present time.
Really? I don't honestly pay attention. It's very hard to get real news out of China. All you get is party statements and official, we used to call them Politburo statements, but nothing. So he is pretty much under suspicious circumstances now? Is that a good way to phrase it?
The rank and file are rising up because the good times are over for them. The economy is collapsing. China is reverting into its former poverty. And they blame the highest ranking people in the government for the undoing of the Chinese economy.
It sounded to me years ago like the Chinese economy was almost bulletproof. It had become very strong under good leadership and sound fiscal policies, trade, tremendous production and output, and yet it's all seemingly in great strife and duress now. It's not there anymore. I don't know where it went. Was it looted by party officials, which they usually do?
That has happened, but more so, the political direction has undermined the very basis of the economy, because it was trade with the West and with the United States, and now they are at war, politically at war, if not militarily, politically at war with the United States. And there's the economic dimension to that, the financial dimension, which they have been shutting down so many of the Western enterprises that are that have led to the prosperity in China.
Right.
That they're reverting to the previous communist poverty.
How interesting. Well, when all else fails, you go to war. So that's not good.
That's where things aren't. That's what it's all leading to.
A true global war. I still don't understand how much more Putin can... He's not doing well. Not doing well in Ukraine. Okay, they're doing all right in Ukraine, but now over 900 days, and now a part of Russia has been invaded and taken over by Ukraine. This is crazy. Who would have thought that? Couple hundred thousand have been removed from Kursk, the Kursk region, by the Russian government. And Zelensky is claiming we're going to hold this property and never give it back. And all it's just like a lousy soap opera. But I'm just wondering how much more and how many red lines have been crossed of Putin's by Ukraine and the West, the British, the Americans, and the Poles, before Russia really does something. I don't know. It's hard to say. But I don't know if that even comes into your purview much or not. But Russia must get to a point where it simply acts with the overwhelming force it has and stops this craziness. But it's not doing it. Zelensky is still alive and healthy. There's still power to Kiev and all the other major cities. I don't know. It's like the war is not being fought to be won.
But it's going to happen very rapidly. When the total collapse comes, it happens very, very rapidly. And that will be next year.
Any particular signs we should look for? Go ahead.
The signs may not be from those countries themselves, but the prophetic signs that have been given are when we see a communist revolution in Italy, when we see a civil war in France that's going to be a very brutal civil war. It is not going to be resolved very quickly. When we see the global economy collapse and the famine, the economy is being, especially agriculture, is being so undermined at the present time, sabotaged. It is being sabotaged in such a way that the production of food is going to be so curtailed that
There won't be enough for everybody. There just won't.
There won't be enough food to support the survival of the human race on the planet.
This is correct. The war on agriculture is in full sway right now in the U.S. Crazy things are being done to penalize farmers farming. It's quite obvious what's going on. So yeah, and I assume the same thing is going on over there. Farmers are not being taken care of properly. In fact, they're being penalized and punished.
The total war, they're waging a total war on humanity. And you hear about places where they are even banning the production of dairy products.
Banning. And this, all right.
This is significant when you read about cities and states,
mm-hmm.
places where they are banning, actually banning the production of dairy products, because what is not very well known is that there are essential nutrients that you only get from, in a good quantity, from from dairy products. One of these essential fats is called C15, and it's so important for the building up of the cells of your body.
I've not heard of C15, Father Kramer. I don't know what this is. It's new to me. C15?
Yeah, I think it was only 2014 when the scientific studies were published showing the importance of that. And without it, you have the cells start breaking down. Mm-hmm. And that causes so many degenerative diseases, and people start to age prematurely. That's one of the things that causes, for example, diseases that usually would have their onset in older age, like type 2 diabetes.
Right.
And you now find it in teenagers. They're getting type 2 diabetes like their grandparents, even before the parents get it.
Well, I think you'll find most of those are in vaccinated with the bioweapon injection.
Well, the bioweapon just accelerates that and aggravates it.
Right. Well, I've always said this. When a culture or a civilization or a species allows, even to a limited degree, a war to be declared on children, childhood innocence, childhood fun, when you declare war on children and childhood, you're pretty much done. You're not going to make it. You can't do that. But they're doing it. These horrible things being done to children all the time now. Terrible.
And it's being done globally, differently in different countries.
Correct. Yeah.
It's being carried out very systematically.
Do you see within Russia, the Eastern Orthodox Church and so forth, Christian Church, is there anything in that? It's a large group. Is there anything in that group that would tie into the old Catholic Church in any way that might be used by whoever takes on the frauds in the Vatican now? The Eastern Orthodox Church seems to be pretty substantial and pretty solid. Not under attack, not like the Catholic Church.
That is what will eventually turn the tide. And this is the message of Fatima. When there will finally be elected a true pope, when the circumstances are such that the world is in the most desperate straits, then you will have the Pope and the Catholic bishops who will consecrate Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And then you will have Russia and the Catholic Church united in the Catholic faith, but Russia will continue to have its religious traditions, but in union with the Catholic Church, but with the Catholic Church that will be in its traditions, not the church we had since Vatican II, but that going back to the church at the time of Pius XII and before. And when you have that true Christian spirit in both the East and the Eastern and Western churches united, they will overcome all the obstacles And that is what is foretold in Fatima, the triumph of the Immaculate Heart of Mary.
Right.
And that is something that is even Pope Pius XII understood. He instituted the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which is the 22nd of August. That's tomorrow.
At this point, Father Kramer, do you and your colleagues view the Vatican as salvageable, as recoverable, or is it just gone to the extent it's going to take a true global rising up of Catholics to force the imposters, the Bergoglians, to go? How are you going to wrest control of the Vatican back from these globalist communists, which I think probably defines them as well as anything? How are you going to do that? Or do you even care anymore at this point about the Vatican? Do we just leave it alone for a while? Just go to a different direction and look at that?
It's going to happen in a bloodbath.
Fine with me. All right.
The Vatican is going to perish in a bloodbath.
Who is this talking? Is this Father Kramer talking? Is this something that you get by way of guidance? Are you hearing this from others who are outside now of that very heretical group? Where is this coming from? I don't need names, but I'm just curious. You're not the only person thinking this way, correct?
Yes, and it's something I refer to it as the unanimity of prophecy. You read Catholic prophecy, uh-huh, and they all point to the same kind of events that will take place.
Right.
Rome is going to be overthrown, and there's going to be a bloody revolution, and it's going to be centered at the Vatican. It's going to be targeting the Vatican.
So somebody's going to go in there and root out all the malignancy, kill it, get rid of it, excise it. That's what you think?
It's going to be the worst elements of society who are going to be carrying out the slaughters.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
But they're going to be carrying out a cleansing that needs to be done against their own will. Because they're going to get the rot out from the top. And when on the ruins, the church will be rebuilt.
Well, it has to, or 2,000 years of global leadership will be gone and never to return. I mean, there has to be a move made. It can't be legislated back into what it was. You've got some really bad people in there.
That's right. You can't expect the mafia to reform.
No, it's not going to clean itself up. No. It that's a fairly good way to look at it, too. It does seem to have been taken over by a Catholic mafia. All right. It works.
A pseudo-Catholic mafia.
Very good. Okay.
A pseudo-Catholic mafia is opposed to everything Catholic. And that's Bergoglio. That's Bergoglianism.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that what a terrible thing to have to say, but it's quite correct. It's true. It just amazes me to see 1.3 billion people either conned or ordered into compliance with what's going on. I guess I have to blame the local church hierarchy, correct?
Well, the local church hierarchies are under the power of the Vatican.
Uh-huh.
And they're and they are the ones who are appointing the bishops, and that's how they keep the fraud that this is Catholicism, mm-hmm. this false religion, this United Nations agenda, which is being pushed under with the window dressing of Catholicism, is being pushed on the people. It is through the hierarchy that is appointed by Bergoglio's Vatican, but it goes back before Bergoglio. It goes back to the time of Pope Paul VI, when you had that Masonic Cardinal Sebastiano Baggio, who was in charge of appointing bishops.
Mm-hmm. Now, talk about an inside job. All right, we are out of time, Father Kramer. Thank you for being here. We'll talk to you a week from Friday on the 30th. So, looking forward to that. Stay well and rest up. Thanks for being here, as always.
Yes, well, it's great to be back again, even though we under the cyber attack last week.
Yeah, it's okay. All right, thank you, my friend. We'll talk on the 30th. See you then.
Yeah.
All right. And thank you for being here tomorrow, Thursday. And we'll see what happens. Tomorrow, I've got Yoshi will be back tomorrow. He wants to do a little kind of a resume. Yeah, not a resume, just a recap of what happened at the Democratic Convention. So we'll have fun with Yoshi doing that tomorrow night. All right. Take care. Talk to you in 21 hours. Talk soon.